It's supposed to be dry. It's a dry wine. I read old books about it. French wines were called dry back then.
Only Doc was prepared to try to savor it, but even he eventually pulled a face.
My heartfelt apologies, my dear fellow, but I'd rather think that this particular wine has failed to travel well through either time or space.
Tomlin snatched up the dark green bottle, stalking off with it back toward his own quarters.
Why can't we just get the hell out of here, Dad?
Because we said we'd stay 5 days.
What if there's no sign of the Sea Killers? What then?
News so far today has been no news. See if the last patrols bring in anything.
If they don't?
Then Christy and I might go out on a boat tomorrow.
But the final reports finished up just as negative as the first ones had been. There wasn't the least trace of Yeovil. No smoke, no cooking fires, no other vessels. Nothing. The boat was called Damfino. It was made from some sort of plastic and painted a dark greenish blue. The small engine on its stern showed signs of having been repaired and rebuilt a number of times over the years, since its keel was first laid down in a place called New Haven. The kitchens of the Institute provided Ryan and Christy with a good packed meal, though it was becoming noticeable that the quality of the food had been deteriorating since their first arrival there. It was something that Ryan put down to the presence in the area of the pirates. There were also 5 bottles of clean spring water and a couple of rods, though neither of them intended to do any fishing. Ryan packed the Steyr rifle carefully into the boat. He was wearing the Sig Sauer, and his coat pockets carried a couple of spare 15-round mags for the hand blaster. Christie's Smith & Wesson double-action M640 was holstered on her hip. The weather had turned colder, with bunches of pink-ray clouds scurrying south on the back of the chilly winds. The surface of the sea was like processed slate, with patches of whitecaps showing farther out beyond the shoals. But Thorund, who claimed to be something of an authority on local weather conditions, told them that the sun would soon be breaking through, and the late morning and afternoon would be fine and warm. Dean had pressed his father to be allowed to go out with him on the boat, but Ryan had told him to stay at the Institute and keep his eyes open for trouble. The idea that there was some sort of responsibility in such a mission satisfied the boy, and when he went down to the quay with the others to wave them off, he was smiling broadly.
Bring us back some mackerel, or a saddle of fine mutton with caper sauce.
Watch the sun side of the horizon. It's the danger side.
Mildred was standing close to JB, and she gave Ryan and Christy the thumbs up.
Watch out that he doesn't run out of gas.
Michael stood silent, his hands in his pockets, scowling out to sea. Ryan gunned the engine and steered the craft away from the Institute's dock and along the narrow inlet that would lead them quickly out into the Atlantic. He caught a glimpse of Mark Tomlin leaning on an iron fence at the side of one of the laboratory buildings. Neither man waved to the other.
Which way?
Christy laid back in the bow, the fresh breeze tugging at her flaming strands of hair.
North or south, lover?
South, I think. Thorin said that the good weather would come from the south.
The engine chugged along, pushing them out from the land at a steady 5 knots. They had a spare can of gas in the bottom of the boat, as well as a mast that could be jury-rigged and a pair of oars as a final precaution.
Do you think the pirates are coming?
I can't hardly hear you above the engine in the waves. Did you say that you figured that the pirates were coming?
No, I asked if you thought they were coming. We should have seen some sign of them by now.
I don't know. When we saw them and chilled a few, I guess they'd come after us. Maybe they got some bigger, safer fish to fry.
Ryan had intended to make a decent easting to keep well away from land, but the wind was stronger and the waves bigger, splashing over the bow and soaking Christy, forcing him back in toward the keys.
Company!
Ryan reached automatically for the SSG-70 hunting rifle, its walnut stock already dappled with spots of salt water. Then he saw where she was looking. A few points off the port bow, a lean gray shape rose and fell, keeping station with the boat, occasionally lifting its smooth, intelligent head, as though making sure they were still there.
I don't know its name, do you?
No. Odds on that it's one of Tomlin's pets, keeping a tracker on us.
Yeah.
Ryan took his hand off the narrow tiller and waved at the cetacean. He wasn't surprised when it seemed to nod back at him, its mouth opening in what looked like a human grin. Thorin proved to have been a good forecaster. The skies cleared as though someone had reached down and pulled across a curtain of brightest blue. The sun had a hint of pink-purple corona around it, which in the Deathlands was normally a sign of some kind of residual nuke activity out in space. a part of the totality concept, have been to flood the airless dark beyond Earth's atmosphere with innumerable missiles and spy sats, all of them powered to greater or less degree by nuclear energy. So, during the long years of the nuke winter, these mechanical creations and their eastern counterparts began to malfunction, slipping into crazy orbits. Most descended back to their home planet within the first 10 years, causing further damage to the decimated population and to the blasted land. But even now, a century later, an occasional chunk of deep space debris would slither wearily down toward its base and burn up as it came through the upper layers of the atmosphere. Ryan eased back on the throttle, cruising inside a long shoal that was breaking up the long Atlantic swell. The Dolphin was still with them. It was almost as if it occasionally got bored and started to entertain itself, speeding up and diving under their keel at the last moment, then swimming around and around the boat, faster and faster, on one magical occasion actually jumping right over it, splattering Christy with a dazzling rainbow of salt spray.
Gaia, that was pretty amazing, lover. First time I've had a fish fly over me.
Amphibious mammal, Christy. Not a fish, remember?
Christy dipped her hand in the warm waves and splashed Ryan.
Nobody loves a smartass, Ryan.
Time for some lunch.
Ryan throttled back until the propeller was barely revolving, angling in toward a narrow stretch of white beach, shielded at north and south by rolling sand dunes. The quay itself was cut off at both ends by fallen bridges and looked totally barren.
Can we go ashore, lover?
Why?
If you want the details, then it's because I need to take a dump, all right?
Do it over the side of the boat. Ocean's big enough to cope with a little contamination.
Not when there's some land just 50 yards away. Either you steer us in, Ryan, or I'll dive straight into the water and swim right in.
The Dolphin was close on the seaward side, almost motionless, its long nose out of the water, keeping itself upright by a swirling motion of its powerful tail. Christy watched it, watching them.
Anyway, I couldn't just stick my ass over the side of the boat with that staring at me. It wouldn't be decent.
Ryan gunned the engine and cut it toward the strip of sloping shoreline, his eyes raking the coast for any sign of danger. But his first impression was confirmed. There were a number of seabirds, including some large pelicans, dotted along the dunes, a sure sign that there was no unusual predator in the area.
You coming out?
Why not? Could eat the food while we're here. I'll drag the anchor up the beach a ways.
Christy swung her long legs over and walked through the shallow water, her boots leaving deep impressions.
I'm going that way. Soon as I've finished, I'll come back. Where are you going?
Just up the top there to have a look over the other side. Make sure there isn't any pirate camp.
Christy waved a hand and set off along the beach, pausing to pick up a beautiful whorled shell, its interior glistening like a moonstone. She held it to her ear, shook her head, then lobbed it into the waves where it sank without a trace. Ryan watched her for a few seconds, experiencing one of those sudden swells of affection that all lovers feel. Then he climbed out of the boat and heaved the small iron anchor up a dozen yards, burying its flukes, kicking them into the sand to make sure they held, checking before he took out the food that the other end of the sun-faded rope was tied firmly to the bow thwart, which it was. The Dolphin had disappeared, perhaps going to Tomlin to report. It was about 100 paces from tideline to the crest of the dunes, but the sand was so soft and yielding that Ryan found himself going 3 steps up and 2 steps back down. By the time he got to the top, he found he was panting and sweating hard. Ryan blinked the perspiration from his good eye and laid down the food and the bottles of drinking water, straightening and looking around, and stopped dead.
Fire blast.
He didn't go down to explore, choosing to wait until Christy had made the weary climb to the top of the dunes to join him.
What are you sitting there for?
I've got something to show you when you get right up to the top, lover.
I'll bet you say that to all the girls. Phew, it's hot today.
Come on, it'll be worth the effort.
Panting and red-faced, she finally reached where Ryan was sitting cross-legged, waiting for her.
Now, what do you... Oh, sweet honey from the rock, look at that.
Hidden from the sea, on both sides of the narrow quay, by a bowl-like depression in the land, was a large 2-story building. Ryan guessed immediately that it must once have been a hotel. Big houses where people stayed for a day or so while traveling across the country and paid for their beds and for their food. There were literally thousands of such ruins scattered all across the Deathlands, mostly derelict, though some of the larger frontier pest holes had resurrected one or two and use them as jackamblers or as gaudies. What was truly bizarre about this one was that it didn't look as though it had been damaged at all. Most of the windows still stared blankly toward Ryan and Christy, and the roof and walls looked stained by the weather.